Episode 7 of the Four Seasons podcast is made possible by Last Word on Sports. You can follow them on Twitter at Last Word on Sport or visit their website, lastwordonsports.com. That's lastwordonsports.com. Four Seasons podcast. Ryan Mogjosh here, as always. Zach Noble. It's been a while.
It has. It seems like it's been a minute, definitely. But summer's dwindling down, and that's sad to say. I love the summer, but also means closer to the real stuff. The NBA regular season coming, but the summer league, it was a fun summer league. Free agency was fun as always. I feel like it's getting better every year. And on top of that, I mean, people are just figuring out fun stuff to talk about, and the league is just getting better and better in the off season, so it's not as dry, let's say.
I'm not even sure we can call it the off season anymore. It's like regular season is season A, and off season is season B. Like, they're almost equally in entertainment. You're right. Yeah. Summer league has been amazing this year. Shout out to Lonzo Ball, huge part of that. Selling out crowds in summer league, and then... lots happening in off-season talk, so that's been it's definitely been entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's the male version of just the Kardashians. I mean, it's just the drama. I mean, the drama just picks up every summer, and it's all due to social media and people getting more sensitive in the league. And it seems like we're just talking about, like, even with free agency, there was always just one player. Summer league, it was a week of one player. But man, the past 3 weeks, 2 weeks, it seemed like it's just been all Kyrie Irving. It's crazy.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he's been the center of attention now. It's kind of, Melo has passed the torch on to Kyrie.
It helped.
Speaking of Kyrie, our first topic today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Kyrie destinations, followed by kind of an interesting wild card segment. We're going to pick one player in the league to switch teams with and plug that guy onto another team to see if they can contend with the Warriors. So that's going to be a kind of a fun one. Some are kind of hypothetical. I guess mine are more hypothetical just for fun, and yours are actually very realistic. Some players that could be switching teams this year to help contend. And then our new segment, a segment that we're going to pick up for this podcast and future podcasts. Top five. We're just going to have a top five. We reached out to a bunch of you listeners to give us some top five categories. We chose one, this podcast being top five expansion cities and relocation cities. So we're going to cover all that, starting first with Kyrie destinations. You want to start out with one of yours?
Yeah, so the destinations I have, there's been... Everybody rumored right away they all want to get a pitch in, see if there's any chance. I mean, to get a player, I mean, people would even pair another point guard because, as we all know, this league's all about talent. Talent wins all. It doesn't matter really the fit if we're talking about a top 20 player, a player that's that good. Everybody's talking about Kyrie's overrated, Kyrie's underrated. Well, let's just all agree on he's a really good player, and he's a player on the market. So... I read an interesting article today by Amico Sports, Sam Amico, one of the Cavs insiders, and it was really interesting. He's always been one of my favorite guys to follow when it comes to insiders regarding the Cavs, inside information. He's normally really accurate and well-informed, but he says the Cavs are really holding out to get a great deal, and they will hold out as long as it takes, and they'll even keep him if they don't even see anything worthwhile. But they do want to get rid of him more than anything. They do want to get rid of him. One thing I want to note is the fact that everybody's making a huge deal out of this, that he's not willing to commit to other teams. But I'd like to hear your take on that before we get too far into it. But my take is it's a team-by-team basis. I don't think it doesn't matter at all to me, in my opinion. What I think is if Kyrie's saying that, he's being honest. I mean, That's first of all, that's what I want. The guy's got 2 years left versus one Paul George, so he's not like screwing the team over or anything. 2 years is a long time to try to make a player happy, and next year's free agent class is loaded. So when I think of this trade destinations for Kyrie, I think there's a lot of teams that should be making a play for him, because 2 years is a lot of time in the NBA, honestly. And a player that good, if he thinks he's that good, he thinks he should be able to get your franchise to the playoffs right away. And if he's truly a top 20, some people say top 15, top 25, wherever you have him, he should be able to bring your team really close, if not in the playoffs. So I think depending on what you're giving up, if he makes your team better or worse, I really don't think a comment like that would bother me. I would be more focused on is it the best play for my team and my future. But I'd feel like Kyrie is open-minded regardless of where he'd go.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting caught up in what he said. I part of me has a problem with it. Part of me thinks that today players have more than enough say in their destination and their future. He's under contract. And the part that bothers me is, don't sign the contract for 3-4 years, whatever it was for Kyrie, if you don't necessarily know for sure that you want to be a Cav for 3 or 4 years. I know he's trying to beat LeBron out of Cleveland. That's what it looks like to me. He wants out of Cleveland before Cleveland goes just bankrupt and to back like a shit show to like the bottom three teams in the East. I understand that.
While you're on that point, let me see. So you're thinking, because there's two ways you can take this. There's one, Kyrie hates playing with LeBron and he wants to get out. Two, the other way is what you're saying right now is that he likes playing with LeBron. He just truly believes LeBron's leaving, so he wants to beat him out of there.
I think it's a blend of the two. Yes, I think that he is trying to beat LeBron out of there because a lot of what everybody's thinking right now, including probably LeBron himself, he just hasn't came out and said it yet. I don't see him coming back to Cleveland after this 2018 season. I think Kyrie knows that. Him being teammates with LeBron, them being boys, at least I thought they were boys. I think that's true. But part of me also thinks that he's tired of playing second fiddle to the best player in the world. And the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Once you leave Cleveland and leave the best player in the league, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have the same success. And I think he's in for a rude awakening when he goes to a team where he's the guy. It's not going to exactly work out the way it did in Cleveland as far as the win column goes.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm a firm believer now that John Wall signed his long contract. I thought John Wall, LeBron, they were going to team up in L.A., and that's why he was holding out.
That would be something.
Yeah, that would have been something. But now it's up to the only other option would be Westbrook and Paul George going with LeBron in L.A., and I can see that happening too. But if the Cavs win this trade, and I think they have a good chance at winning this trade, it would be idiotic for LeBron to leave the Eastern Conference. And that's my thing with Kyrie too. If you really don't care about winning that much and you want to raise your street cred a little bit, per se, I mean, do what you want to do. I'm not gonna hate on him that much, but I'm a winner. I like people who win. And when you have a path that easy, why abandon ship?
Yeah, I agree. I think a big part of it also is change of scenery. I just think getting so close as they were last year and just falling short and how demoralizing Golden State can make you feel, I think part of his thought process is, holy shit, like we just played our asses off and Golden State beat us in five. Like, what else can we do, you know?
Yeah. A lot of factors go into that. I mean, that's going down the alley of talking about why they lost and everything. But it's interesting. Let's talk about where we think some destinations are and what we think some teams should do. So the teams I've seen rumored, and realistically, the teams that, I mean, Woj said these guys all made an offer. We don't know necessarily what that offer is. But the Suns, Spurs, Knicks, Bucks and Nuggets is who I have down, and then the Wolves. But most likely team, in my opinion, for both teams to be really satisfied and who should be going after him more than anything with the best assets would be the Suns. I'll start there. So Devin Booker, that was a topic on Twitter today. It was getting thrown around as a name. But I truly think the crazy thing is Phoenix already came out supposedly and said Josh Jackson and Devin Booker are off limits. However, do I think one is more valuable than the other? Well, Devin Booker has proven himself right now. So first of all, in order to make that trade work, it'd be Booker and Bledsoe for Kyrie, RJ, and then maybe Cleveland throws in a pick or two. And I think that would be pretty fair for both teams because, one, I mean, Cavs would probably win right off the bat. But would they really? Because Bledsoe has a really tough time staying on the court. So that already, I mean, that's almost a loss for Cleveland already if they're trying to keep LeBron. They need players who are going to stay on the court.
Right, yeah. But Bledsoe, to me, if Bledsoe is thrown in the trade, that's very ballsy for Cleveland to do. He's never healthy. He can't stay on the court.
Right, but that's why Phoenix would have to throw in Devin Booker, and I think it's almost worth it for Phoenix to do it because, this is my reasoning, Kyrie is way better than Devin Booker right now. Devin Booker is probably a top 50 player right now is where I mean, I'd have to look where I'd have him exactly, but I'd say top 50 player, but Devin Booker's a really inefficient scorer, but he's very promising, yes. But Phoenix is a place that they have a tough time. Ryan McDonough, their general manager, has a tough time bringing in true stars. Kyrie Irving is a true all-star, and that's going to be, if Booker ever got that good, that would be something. It would be. And so when you got an opportunity to upgrade to a star like that to probably get you in the playoffs, and one, I think, in my personal opinion, I think Josh Jackson should be more off-limits than Devin Booker. Even though Devin Booker's almost already proven, I love Devin Booker. But Devin Booker's still a really inefficient scorer. Hasn't led to a lot of wins. They were dead last year. That was pretty bad. How many wins they have? I mean, they were, dead last in the West with 24 wins.
Yeah, they were not good. I was going to ask you, so you would rather have a package of Bledsoe and Jackson rather than Bledsoe and Booker, correct?
If I'm the Cavs, yes.
Okay, good.
Because I think that would fit their needs more, and you got a proven player with Bledsoe and Jackson with sky-high potential and somebody that can take over a lot of defensive responsibilities for LeBron down the road. That would
right
just
there.
Set them up.
You nailed it. That's the whole – listening to you talk about this Phoenix trade possibilities, Booker doesn't fit what the Cavs need right now to me. And I know
right.
You saw this tweet I had earlier today. They need defensive help. I put up the statistics. They scored 113, 113, 137, and 120 points against the best team, defensive team in the entire league at the highest stage of the season. They don't need help offensively. What they really need is defensive role guys and defensive stoppers, elite defenders. And I think Josh Jackson has a promising future as a defender in this league.
Absolutely. So tell me this. I mean, if you're Phoenix, I don't know, if you're Cleveland, sorry, do you accept the deal if they don't, if you take Booker, I mean, not Booker, Bledsoe, I would just Booker, Kyrie, RJ picks, and then they obviously have to throw in like Tyson Chandler or somebody with a bigger contract?
I don't, because I don't want to start Derrick Rose at point guard.
That's the thing. And I honestly would if I'm Cleveland, because that might be as good as you're going to get for an offer. And that's something, if you don't have a better offer, which I'd be far-fetched to see a better offer than that, honestly. But, yeah, so I think Cleveland and Phoenix are the best partners both ways. But we'll see. So my next team, I would say with the best chance, would be the Spurs. And the reason why I say the Spurs, really, it's because, I mean, Kyrie obviously said he wanted to go there, so Spurs would give up a lot for him. But is this a lot in Cleveland's mind? The trade would be LaMarcus Aldridge, DeJounte Murray, and then they probably have to throw in picks or maybe another veteran player, which, again, I I could see Cleveland taking that if they don't have anything better. What's your take on that one?
See, I don't think that's enough defensive help. You know how I feel about LaMarcus Aldridge. He plays soft. He was a no-show in the playoffs. He bothers me a lot. If I'm the Cavs GM, I need Danny Green in that trade for Kyrie.
That would be amazing.
3-and-D guy. He can play. I mean, if you're trying to beat the best, which is Golden State, he's going to be obviously defensively matched up with Klay, which allows you to be more flexible on your with your other starting four defensively. I think you need to ask for defensive minded players in a trade for Kyrie, no matter which direction you go team wise.
So salary, yeah, I agree. That's fair. So salary wise, where Cleveland would say yes on that, LaMarcus Aldridge, Murray, and then Danny Green, but you throw in Kyrie and then either give him Shumpert or J.R. Smith. Obviously, J.R. Smith probably isn't a San Antonio type of player.
Yeah.
But Iman Shumpert, I think they would be very happy with that.
Yeah, Shumpert reminds me of Simmons a little bit, where they had him Simmons last year, so that would be a good fit.
You got it, yeah, and he can shoot the three ball for sure and fit in their system nice and fine. But do you believe in DeJounte Murray, where Cleveland would think that's a good trade for them?
I don't know. He got some significant playoff minutes this year. He looked decent at times. I just think he's too unproven for me to say that Cleveland would benefit from him. I know he's going to benefit from having a coach like Pop and learning under Kawhi in San Antonio. So I think the Spurs basically is the best team for any young rookie, young two-year guy coming up in the league, you know?
Right. No, you really can't judge Murray at all. I mean, the guy only played 9 minutes a game and 38 games throughout the season. However, he did shoot 39% from three when he was in. He only took 116, but he shot a really high percentage. So.
Right, and I know the Cavs are going to like his rookie contract. They're the most over-the-cap team in the league right now, and any rookie contracts or any steals of deals of guys in the league right now are going to be really sexy to them.
And on top of that, Eric Bledsoe and DeJounte Murray, they're both clutch sports guys.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that was thrown out there when the LeBron rumors were going everywhere.
So I think LeBron would take a flyer on both those guys. So I think Cleveland gets better with both those trades, honestly. The Knicks, I really don't see a trade the Knicks have. I mean, now that Carmelo said he doesn't want Houston's his only trade, I think that screwed the Knicks over unless they get in a three-way trade.
Yeah, the Knicks bother me. I was going to be pissed at Cleveland if they did a Melo for Kyrie straight-up trade. That would not work for me.
And
Yeah, and since they're not including Kristaps in the deal, they said he's off limits, then the Cavs really don't need to talk to him anymore, you know?
Right, but I would have done Melo and Neal Aquina, and then Gaucho, Hernan Gomez.
You like him? I mean, that's good young talent, obviously, on rookie contracts again. It's just last year's rookie class to me was not that great, not that appealing, and we didn't really learn much about, especially the Knicks, how bad they were. Not a lot of eyeballs saw how productive their rookies were, and I know Frank, right, their draft pick this year is supposed to be good, and he already tweaked his leg or something happened to him with workouts. So I don't know about the Knicks and what they have to offer, but how do you feel about Denver?
Denver, all right. Honestly, so I saw Gary Harris. There's a rumor out there he's off limits, but mm-hmm. I honestly don't believe much of that. And honestly, there's just random publications saying sources behind it. Unless somebody's putting a name behind it is when I truly believe it.
Right.
So Denver, if they threw in Gary Harris, Fried, and Moutier, and that was the trade that comes out. It comes out right in trade. For salary purposes, I'm doing that if I'm Cleveland.
I'm doing that.
I'd prefer Jamal Murray. I'd prefer him over Harris.
That was my next question for you. Jamal Murray or Gary Harris?
Yeah, Jamal Murray, definitely. But that's not – definitely, I prefer the Phoenix trade. Almost prefer the San Antonio trade if Danny Green's in there. But if I could get just Harris and Murray, whew.
Yeah, that's definitely talented. That was my first Kyrie destination. I have two Kyrie destinations. One, I have Denver, and my ESPN trade machine that I use to do this Kyrie trade. Let me know what you think. It's Jamal Murray. I had the choice between Gary Harris and Jamal Murray because basically they're interchangeable. Jamal maybe can play some one, and in this situation he's going to have to play the one in Cleveland. But Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, they're going to want to keep one of those to play the shooting guard in Denver. So I put Jamal Murray in there, obviously on a rookie contract, Will Barton, and Kenneth Faried for Kyrie.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad. It's not bad. You said Will Barton, Kenneth Faried, and Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I think Faried's making somewhere upwards of $12 million a year, and he's kind of similar to Tristan Thompson. He's undersized for a five, but he's a workhorse, and he goes for the offensive glass. And Tristan's made a good living, obviously, in Cleveland of doing that exact thing. So those two are going to be interchangeable with Will Barton kind of. I think he played some two in Denver last year with Gallinari still on the roster. So maybe he can play the two while Jamal Murray runs the one. Or I don't know if he would start over Derrick Rose or if he's too inexperienced for that yet. But there's a lot of possibilities and a lot of flexible sets that Cleveland can run with different versatile options at shooting guard and small forward that I think that they're really going to be into.
I also think we're probably much higher on Jamal Murray than Kobe Altman is.
Yeah, I think so too. I hear a lot of Jamal Murray slander online, and I just think that he's super promising. His defense could improve a lot, but offensively, he can absolutely stroke it. And I think he's going to develop more into a ball handler and a playmaker too.
Right, but here's the thing. Will Barton's redundant with J.R. Smith and almost Jeff Green even. Throw him in there, but Jeff Green isn't. Yeah.
No, Jeff Green is so washed up. That's disgusting.
those guys are just redundants, in my opinion. They're just chuckers. I'm sure JR is way better than both of them. But
yeah, listen to this. And this is interesting, though. LeBron has made so many guys that have been irrelevant for years prior into good basketball players. Richard Jefferson, he made, like, resurge his career by just being teammates with LeBron. Derek Williams has his career was almost over. Then he found a new home in Cleveland. LeBron's kind of brought him along. Channing Frye was a no names in like what was he before Cleveland? Somewhere in like maybe Phoenix or something. And then he goes to Cleveland and has a pick and pop four spot with his name on it because of LeBron. So LeBron resurges so many veterans' careers. And I know Will Barton's not considered maybe an old vet yet. But I kind of see him being beneficial with side by side with LeBron.
Wow, that's a take right there. That's a take. So tell me this: are you accepting all those trades if you're Cleveland?
I have two down here. I put question
your
mark.
Last trade.
Yes, I'm saving my best for last, and it's my dream scenario. But to Denver, I put question marks next to it because. How much better are you getting defensively, which is your necessity if you're Cleveland, with Jamal Murray, Will Barton, and Kenneth Faried, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, so speaking of my second one, the Milwaukee Bucks. I think both teams can benefit from this trade that I'm about to give my listeners and you right now.
I love the Bucks.
Yeah, so the Bucks, the one position the Bucks need is point guard. I know Brogdon had a good year as a playmaker, but he's a true two. I think he's like 6'5". Shot 40% from three last year, Brogdon did. And he's in this trade, but hear me out. So if you're the Bucks, you're giving away Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, and a 2019 first-round draft pick for Kyrie Irving. Getting Middleton, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you get a vastly underrated guy. He was hurt all year last year, so his trade value is kind of low. There's question marks on whether he can stay healthy, but when he does, before he got injured last year, he shot 43% from three. A lot of people don't know that he's 6'8". He plays the shooting guard, but he's 6'8", long, 3-and-D defender, alongside with Brogdon, who shot 40% from three, also long, proved that he can play beyond his years as the rookie of the year last year. You're getting two guys that help a ton on the defensive end who can still shoot threes for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love that for Cleveland. Honestly, besides the Suns, the Bucks are their best trade partner. If, I mean, if they're willing to dabble. I think they have to. Bucks are a team just like Phoenix. They don't bring in a lot of all-stars, and Giannis has been throwing a lot of fire out there, that, or a lot of smoke, let's say, that he says, I mean, he's watching these other teams making moves, and if they don't treat him right, I mean, he's got injured players around him, and he wants stars. He would love Kyrie Irving. He's made a note of that for sure.
Right, yeah. A big issue for them has been injuries. They've had Jabari Parker miss ACL time. They've had Middleton, who was very productive before he was injured and then kind of got back in the playoffs last year and wasn't quite true to his real potential because of the injury.
You know, dude, just think about it. I mean, because Giannis is so long and Kyrie, I mean, they'd be perfect for each other, I think, in my opinion. And the way they move, I think they'd fit so seamlessly. But I would, if I'm Milwaukee, I'm offering Brogdon for sure and either one of Parker and Middleton.
Yeah, see, I thought about including Parker. But listen to this lineup. Even with, in my trade scenario, Middleton and Brogdon gone, it's Kyrie at the one. The two is the weak spot. But two, still, they had Rashad Vaughn, who hasn't really played a lot of minutes. But he kind of shot well in the playoffs, but he's inexperienced. Or they have Tony Snell, who's also very underrated, a great 3-and-D guy. You could plug either one of them at the two.
Oh, it's Snell for sure.
Snell, yes. I'm a big fan of Snell. And then 3-4 is interchangeable with Giannis and Parker. Either of them can play either spot. And then Thon Maker at the five with John Henson coming off the bench. Not to mention DJ Wilson, their draft pick, looked really good in the summer league this year. So that starting five with a couple bench guys still sounds very dominant on paper.
Yeah, you think? And Kyrie Irving, I mean, top 20 player, let's say. Middleton and Parker, they're still top 40 players.
Right, yeah. So I know they're going to have to give up something to get something in Kyrie, but, I mean, there's so many scenarios where Milwaukee can win this trade and really compete for a top 3 seed in the East this year if they make this trade.
Right, you're not just thinking about getting better, you're thinking about keeping Giannis as well, one of the most important players in the NBA by far. The last trade partner I want to touch on, from the Timberwolves' perspective, the rumor out there, Woj said they made an offer, Wiggins wasn't a part of it. They must have offered a shit ton of picks. Think about that. I mean, to give up Dang and whoever, you'd have to give up 3, 4, or 5 picks or something.
Yeah, that would be a lot. And talking about the Timberwolves, one thing that kind of bothers me is the rule in the NBA where, like, these guys that you get in free agency, Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson, they're not available for deals until December. And right, those would be great trade bait. Like, those are productive role players that any team would love to have. And in this trade situation would literally be perfect to try to get Kyrie to tag him along in the trade with, like, Wiggins or somebody like that.
Right. So on Minnesota Sports Radio today, they were touching on, because Minnesota's been working on that Max Wiggins deal, and that should be done in a second. That's a no-brainer.
Yep.
But they were saying it's more likely Wiggins gets traded once they max him out, which makes a lot of sense to me. Obviously, Cleveland would want him a lot more.
Yep.
On top of that, you have Jimmy Butler and Karl Towns ratting out their buddy wanting to get rid of Andrew Wiggins. Obviously, he's not really Jimmy Butler's buddy, but Towns supposedly, they're all in on getting Kyrie.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand.
It kind of sucks. I didn't even think of that. It kind of sucks if you're Wiggins.
Right. I don't like hearing that if I'm Wiggins.
No.
I mean, I'm hesitant to even sign that max contract. But honestly, money's money. You want to get it while you can. So I think he's a guy that believes in himself and his abilities. And he'll prove himself wherever he is. But from my standpoint on the trade, it's a hell no for me if I'm the Timberwolves. One, because, sure, Kyrie Irving, I would love to have on the Timberwolves. I'd absolutely love it. But if we could get him without giving up Wiggins in a heartbeat, I would be in heaven. If they got him without giving up Wiggins, I would almost be with them as a top 3 team in the league, maybe even second, maybe almost even jump Cleveland. They have that much potential and talent on that team. But here's the thing. So Kyrie for Wiggins, I think the Wolves, they get better right away. Like, right now, they're a first, second-round team. this year, the way they're structured. But if they had Kyrie, they're a Western Conference team. And I think as good as all their potential gets, all their three best players there, I don't think they would ever be good enough to beat Golden State. Now with Wiggins, because a small forward position is so important, and he's got more potential in my mind than Kyrie does. Do we know if he's going to get there? That's the risk you're willing to take. I think this is the reason why I wouldn't do it. I think if Wiggins, Towns, Butler, they all reach their potential, and Teague is definitely an upgrade over Rubio, they would have a chance in 2 years to beat the Warriors. And therefore, I keep Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we see differently, Jeff Teague. You said very easily that he was an upgrade from Rubio. I struggle with that. I think they're pretty even. I think his last year in Indiana really bothered me. And we paid him $19 million. I don't know where Kyrie fits on this team when you just paid your point guard 19 mil, guaranteed him a starting spot, and plugged him in to be the fourth guy, you know?
Yep. No, definitely. I mean, it's tricky. That's a different story. But it's still an upgrade. Like it or not, Jeff Teague is a good pickup. But Kyrie Irving is just, to get a player like that. And here's the thing I'm nervous about as a Wolves fan. I think Tom Thibodeau, he's in win-now mode. He really is. And I think he's a player that doesn't – I mean, he's a coach that doesn't like developing rookies. He's proved it throughout his career. With that, I could see him doing this really easily, honestly.
Wow, that would be super interesting, and it's definitely sexy. But the way the T-Wolves are set up right now, I want to believe in it, but it's kind of on fantasy land because that just the way they're constructed. Just I don't know if it fits. All right.
So, but Cleveland. Now, what about from Cleveland side, real quick? I think Cleveland, honestly, with Andrew Wiggins, I think right away they're just as good as they were with Kyrie Irving. If not, better because LeBron gets to do his thing more. And
you're saying with Wiggins, a swap for Wiggins and Kyrie?
I just think Wiggins, a defensive potential this year is much higher than Kyrie. I don't think they're going to go backwards. I don't know if they're going to go forward at all, but they definitely get better down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, Wiggins has the potential to be phenomenal as a defender. His stats weren't great defensively this year. He underachieved his ass off on defense this year. But I think that's a product of being on a losing team and just kind of trying to prove that you can get buckets and the wins will come maybe. This year, I think it's going to change. This year, I think Wiggins is going to be a force on the defensive end.
This is what Nick, and I love talking about that and thinking about that, but I hope that those rumors stop really quickly. If I'm teams out there right now and Kyrie Irving is on the market, if I need a point guard, I'm doing everything I can to get him. Should be like pretty easy when things get desperate here. If none of these other top teams like the Suns and Phoenix, the Suns and Milwaukee, they take their names out of the hat. They're not offering enough. If I'm a team, like, I don't know why Philly isn't offering Fultz for him or something. I know that doesn't excite LeBron. He doesn't want to play with a rookie, and that's probably why Cleveland's staying away. But if I have a rookie point guard anywhere, I'm trying to get Kyrie Irving one way or another. Or else the other team I can't believe we haven't heard mentioned is New Orleans. I would do DeMarcus Cousins for Kyrie Irving in a heartbeat because I had a decent 40-game, I'd say 30 to 40-game sample size of him and Boogie. Arguably, Kyrie Irving has a more impact on the game and leads to more wins than Boogie, and you can keep Anthony Davis around longer.
Yeah, to touch on those teams that you just mentioned, I don't know if Philly does the Fultz trade just because of the contract. Kyrie's getting paid a shit ton, and Fultz is going to be on a rookie contract, and they'll have him for upwards of 6 years. And that's true, true value, especially if Fultz balls this year. New Orleans, I was so pissed at them that they signed Jrue Holiday to $25 million a year. That's insane. He's making $25 million in 2017, 2018, $25.6 million. I think that's way too high. when there's other point guards that would be a huge upgrade over Drew Holiday.
Right.
I thought that the Pelicans were going to be big contenders in getting a big name guard to complement AD and Boogie this year.
Luckily, they traded with another injury point guard, Rajon Rondo.
True. They did, however, sign Ian Clark to a phenomenal deal, and I love that.
Yeah, those are three guys who can play the point spot and do it above average, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Next segment. This one's it's kind of hard to follow, so let me slow it down and kind of describe the rules to you real quick. So, we're trying to compete with the Golden State Warriors. With the exception, you cannot mention LeBron. LeBron's name is out of this just because he can go to a team and make them a contender by himself. So, no LeBron. What player in the league could you take off their current roster and plug in on a new roster to make that team contenders? Does that make sense?
So, yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking at this a little differently, but yeah, I'm going to try to do it that way. So I looked at this from a realistic side of things. I think there's legitimately seven guys that are available here, like either right this very moment or coming up midway through the season, beginning of the season. And that's Kyrie Irving, obviously, he's the most available. Carmelo, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Dwayne Wade, Kristaps, and Marc Gasol.
Wow, I
I
love
think
those.
all those guys, yeah, all those guys have been rumored. And one way or another, Porzingis says he just came out and said he wants to be in New York for the rest of his career. Obviously, there's something with Phil there. Might like the new GM or something. But if they don't start winning right off the bat, I could see Kristaps going the other way. Can't really believe players for their word right now these days, the way the player movement happens.
Absolutely.
So I look at it this way. I think realistically, though, out of those players, like I could see Melo going to the Rockets, and Daryl Morey likes to make trades and as many moves as he can. They could either go get Cousins, Anthony Davis, but I don't know if they have the pieces for those guys. So let's just say Melo. I think Melo gets the Rockets really close. And that's definitely one team they get a lot better. Marc Gasol would definitely even help them a lot and get them better. And I think Memphis could do something like Clint Capela and Eric Gordon or something like that if Clint Capela keeps showing his promise and they throw in some picks or whatever. But the Spurs trade for Kyrie, I think that almost gets them there.
Yeah, that's
I
a good
think
one.
that's really close. And then the Celtics, I mean, give them Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. And then from there, I mean, the last one I'd say would be the Thunder. If they got Carmelo Anthony or one of those big guys I mentioned, Cousins or Anthony Davis.
Those are all great. I love the thought of Kyrie playing with Kawhi and having like giving Kawhi like a legitimate superstar to play next to, because he hasn't had that.
Right.
All right, those are phenomenal, and those were realistic. Mine are not realistic. Mine are fantasy land, too good to be true, super hypotheticals. I think the Warriors are head and shoulders above so many other teams that realistically there are only four teams that could add a player and contend with them right now. I have two in the East and two in the West. The two in the East are kind of predictable, and let's start with Cleveland. Kawhi Leonard is in no way, shape, or form going to leave the Spurs anytime soon. He is glued there, maybe for life. But in this exercise, I have Kawhi Leonard going to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You're
And
cracking my shit up.
I would put him at the two. Imagine Kawhi Leonard playing the shooting guard on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's say Kyrie stays. It's Kyrie, Kawhi, LeBron, Love, and TT. The
Oh,
Cavs are 21st.
that team might sweep them.
It would be phenomenal to watch. The Cavs were 21st in the league defensively last year. They gave up 107 points per game. Kawhi would not stand for that. Kawhi would boost them up into the top 10, maybe even the top 5 defenses in the league. I think he's the best two-way player in the league. And on Fantasyland, in this instance, Kawhi makes the Cavs. You might be right. The Kawhi might put the Cavs over the top so much that they sweep them.
I mean, I think that the Warriors would get hot enough to win one game, but Kawhi Leonard would have locked down Kevin Durant. LeBron would be motivated to play a little more defense on, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, and then they would figure it out. That would be disgusting.
You said your realistic situation was Boogie or AD to the Celtics. And that's what I have too. I have
Nice.
so say the Pelicans struggle this year. Right now, their win-loss total was good enough to land them a 7 seed in the East. Or I mean in the West, sorry. And say they don't live up to their expectations early before the trade deadline. The Celtics could very well throw in all their assets that they've been saving up, meaning Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, not all of them at the same time, but a mixture of those guys in for, let's say, Anthony Davis, because the Celtics, more than anything, need rebounding help. They were 27th in the league in total rebounds last year. Their rotation of Kelly Olynyk, Zeller, Mickey, Amir Johnson, and Jarebko was just making me want to vomit. I'm tired of the Celtics not having a rebounding four, and Anthony Davis could help with that tremendously while also stretching the floor at the same time. On my honorable mention, what do you think about this? I'm not ready to give them a true spot with contending to Golden State with adding a player, but the Washington Wizards to me are so close. They're more than one player away because their bench is so ass. They need more bench players and a beefed up defense, but they're really close to contending with the Warriors with one or two role players to help their bench.
Oh, I think Boogie gets them real close, but in order right now to get Boogie there, or Anthony Davis even, they have to give up Otto Porter, and that I still don't think that gets them close to the Warriors.
Yeah, Otto
So
Porter,
what they would
like.
have to give up, and they don't have really much of a bench to begin with, even though they did improve that a little bit this offseason.
Yes, they did with the with your boy from New Orleans, Tim Frazier.
Damn right.
All right, so in
Tell me
the
this.
go ahead.
Kyrie Irving, does he make the Spurs with the trades we were talking about, or the Wolves without giving up Andrew Wiggins? Do you think both those teams are there or really close? Because I do.
I mean, so much of me wants to say that the Timberwolves are that close, but I'm so scared to put them at that high expectations because I want them to succeed. But
Right.
if I put them so high on a pedestal and they underachieve, I feel like it's kind of my fault for putting them
We're
so high.
talking Fantasy Island here, and where we expect Towns, where we expect Wiggins, and where we expect Butler and Kyrie to all peak at. Because I think they're all going to peak at. I mean, my take right now, I think Towns has the potential to be a top 5 to top 10 NBA player, and he should be by the end of this year, honestly. You got Butler, who already is a top 15 player. You got Wiggins, who's a top 40, 50 player, but he will be top 25 by this year, hopefully. And then Kyrie Irving.
Yes,
Man.
if we're talking Fantasy Island, I am 100% on board for this.
Okay, so you think they're there or better if they all reach the potential in your mind?
Yes, and that's why I have them in my Western Conference all honorable mention for the
All
segment,
right.
because they were young and inexperienced, and like I said, I wasn't ready to put them on a pedestal, but I really am excited for Jimmy Butler to go in and teach them how to play defense.
Yes. Now, what about the Spurs? This where's Kuz? Think about this. If Kawhi doesn't get hurt, I think the Spurs win 2 games off the Warriors last year. For sure, game one, and then they sneak one more. It's a 6-game series. So Kyrie has to get them pretty damn close.
Yeah, that's a huge mystery to me. That big what if of What if Kawhi doesn't get hurt? What if Zaza doesn't pull a cheap shot? That's really, really tough to think about. Kyrie gives them so many clutch buckets and a guy that they can go to without Kawhi having to brunt so much of the load offensively. I think you're right. I think that they're right up there competing with the Warriors with Kyrie.
Crazy to think that that's one of the possibilities. There's potential there that could happen. That would be so exciting for the league, but it just also means more shitty players go east, another star goes west. I hope that's not the case.
Right, yeah. Speaking of the West, my two teams in the West, I have two more contenders on Fantasy Island.
Oh boy.
So, you said Carmelo to the Rockets, and I love it, but that's too realistic for me right now. So, I'm going with a similar trend of a three or four, small forward slash power forward, but I'm plucking Paul George from the Thunder and slapping him on the Houston Rockets. Not only does that give them a versatile 3-and-D wing slash power forward that fits amazingly in with the system and what the Rockets do offensively, but it allows Ryan Anderson to get the hell out of the starting lineup. It gives them
Hey.
such better defense with Paul George at the four. So they could start Chris Paul, James Harden. I'd probably put Ariza at the three. Or, I mean, take your pick, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, Ariza. And then all of a sudden you have PG-13 chilling there at the power forward with Capella setting pick and rolls and running to the rim.
Oh,
That's
I love
scary. And they definitely contend with the Warriors.
I honestly don't think that's that fantasy. I think that if LeBron doesn't go to LA next year, I think Houston will be a possibility for
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Paul George, because we all know that there's a good chance Westbrook runs him out of town too.
Right, and I mean, in this day and age, with the Warriors just compounding amazing talent, everybody's going to try to copy that and do the same thing, and that's exactly what Houston's on their way to doing right now.
Yep, and just think, if they were able to sell Chris Paul, and they sold him away from LA, a place he loved, why couldn't they do that with Paul George? And why couldn't James Harden and Paul George be as close as we think they are, being their LA connection? They play in the Drew League together from time to time. I think there's a lot of
It
potential there.
makes you think. Gets me kind of
Hey,
excited.
love talking what ifs.
Yes. All right. Speaking of what ifs, my last and biggest Fantasy Island pluck is a big what if. And this player is not moving anywhere. And that's Oklahoma City. We're giving them Giannis. And listen to this. So, I know you remember the 2016 Western Conference Finals when the Thunder were up 3-1 against the Warriors.
Oh, yes.
Yes, the Thunder were giving them absolute fits with their length. They had Ibaka at the four, they had KD at the three. Maybe Ibaka even ran some five, interchangeable with Steven Adams, and then Russ and Roberson on the perimeter. The Thunder adding Giannis makes them probably even longer than the Bucks are right now. Super versatile, super long. They'd start Russell at the one, Roberson at the two, and you forget all about what I just said about PG-13 and the Rockets because now he's back on the Thunder. You have him at the three, Giannis at the four, and Steven Adams at the five. Who's guarding or who's scoring on that lineup?
Yeah.
It makes it super difficult to score on them. Matchups wise, I mean, if you take Giannis on Draymond, I think his length eats up Draymond. I think PG-13, nobody can really stop KD from scoring, but PG-13 is very similar in stature of KD. That's a good matchup. Roberson on Klay is just going to hound him and follow him around every ball screen. And then Russ didn't have a great year defensively last year, but I think Russ, being the competitive killer that he is, would try to make life on Steph very difficult.
Man, this would be fun. I just hope one of these things happen to make the Western Conference Finals a little more exciting in these next few years.
Yeah, I mean, if these were a real thing, that would be insane. But like I said, it's fun to think about these hypotheticals and what ifs.
Absolutely.
All right, are you ready for our new segment?
Here we go. Drum roll.
Top five. This week's top five. Shout out to Al Lagunas from Chicago. gave us this top five expansion cities. What are your top five cities that Adam Silver is going to think about when he thinks about expanding the NBA to 31, 32 teams?
Okay, so in order for me, I have at one, undoubtedly the most popular by far. They never should have left. They have the best fans. They have great NBA talent come out of there. They have great pro-ams right now held on by the NBA players such as Jamal Crawford, Isaiah Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
List goes on. But Seattle's number one, hands down. It's a big city. There's a lot going on. They have every other professional team. They deserve it. They left in 2008. But the only downside, I mean, it's a 3.7 million city. And, like, the criteria to bring an NBA team, really, besides Oklahoma City, usually is about 2 million people population-wise. They have 3.7. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see teams like, I mean, we'll get into that next, but there's teams out there. But, like, for instance, Sacramento, it hurts that they just signed the long contract there, and their owner, who also has ties to Seattle, doesn't think about leaving too soon. So,
yeah, that kills
me. I mean, right, kills a lot of their possibilities. But number two, there's an arena built. I live right next to it.
Let's go. I knew this was coming.
I love it. I'm sure you have them number one, but Kansas City, I would die, and I'd probably actually stay here a while longer.
I love the sound of that.
Kansas City would be more than merrier. I mean, it's a great basketball place. They host the Big 12 tournament every year. They built an NBA arena with the hopes of eventually getting an NBA team. Great partnership deal with Sprint. They have a couple corporate companies around, and it's a growing city unlike any others. So Kansas City's got to be up there. Number three, Las Vegas. They're bringing in some professional teams, hockey and football. Las Vegas has got to be up there. And then my four and five, this is where it gets fun. This is where I think would be as exciting as any. Get some more international play going. But I have Mexico City number four.
Wow.
And Adam Silver has talked about this. And Mexico City, they host games there right now. It's a 20 million person population. The only problem is finding NBA players who actually would want to go live there.
Yeah, that is true.
Honestly, I think that would be tough. I don't think too many players want to just sign up to go live there. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of crime and poverty yet, but Mexico City, I'd love to see it because I'm sure it could help with all those things.
Absolutely.
But my last one was Vancouver.
Mm.
I love the Vancouver Grizzlies. I have a basketball signed by the 2000 or 1999 Vancouver Grizzlies team, and from what I recall, when I watched them and what I've looked up, their attendance wasn't bad. I know Canada's got a really big basketball population, and their talent pool is growing with Andrew Wiggins and Jamal Murray and guys like that. All those places I'd love to see happen, but there's no need to expand unless you're going to retract. So I'll get into that where I see teams could be retracting. But what do you got from expansion side of things?
Yeah, just to touch on what you just said, Mexico City would be good for expanding what the league is trying to do. We're already growing at an exponential rate, and that would just make the NBA even more popular. And then to touch up on Vancouver, I was obsessed with the Vancouver old school teal jerseys. I had a bibby one myself.
Beautiful. What do you think the population of Vancouver is?
Oh, man. Isn't that, I don't even know where it is on the map. Isn't that far west Canada?
Come on, bro. British Columbia.
Oh, you're way more from the north side, so you have a better idea than I do.
Yeah, in Minnesota, they call us Canadian from time to time, but...
What's the population?
2.4. I thought it'd be a little bigger.
Well,
but
yeah, me too.
Interesting. Crosses the 2 million threshold, so...
Yeah, all right. My top five expansion cities... My number one is Kansas City. I'm obsessed with it. I'm biased. I live there. Sprint Center is literally 15 minutes away from me. I would instantly buy season tickets if we got a team. Number two, Kansas City. We've had a team here before. We deserve a team again. Sacramento Kings used to be the Kansas City Kings. Number three, Kansas City. Sprint Center is perfect for us. So like you said, the Sprint Center was built for an NBA team.
Dying to do this segment.
this is my ode to Adam Silver. I hope he listens to this and tunes in. 4-5, Kansas City. I'm not going to go on. In all seriousness, though, Kansas City is my number one. I would literally die a happy man if we finally got an NBA team. You touched on it, too.
Let's think about this. I mean, they got a good football program. I mean, they got a good
Arrowhead is rocking.
Team.
It's the loudest stadium in the entire NFL.
Right.
The fans love the Chiefs here. The Royals are on a huge hot streak the last 5 years. They've turned their entire franchise around. People are so passionate here about their professional sports, and I think that an NBA team would be no different. It's kind of like that, not little city, but I mean, Oklahoma City has these passionate fans that attend every single game. Their season ticket holders are one of the most famous that there is in the league, and Kansas City would have that same feel to it. A ruckus crowd inside of a jumping arena, that would be so good for the league. Also, if you take a look at all these teams, like I have a map of the United States brought up right now, and there's location pins where every professional team is, and there's a big huge gap in the Midwest. Like, there's no team in Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota, and I mean, I know the more northwest you go, the more gross it gets for NBA teams, but there's a lot of area right there to have a team smack dab in the middle of where no team is right now.
Right, and on top of that, I mean, Forbes, Fortune, publications like that have been putting Kansas City as one of the best up-and-coming cities and best business cities and all of these things. And they're getting a lot of cred recently, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I'm right in the heart of it and been enjoying it. But another thing to think about, all these teams, if you go read all these publications and articles about expansion cities, there aren't very many big cities. I mean, Kansas City is next to Seattle and Vegas. I mean, it's about the same size as Vegas, honestly.
Right,
but,
yeah.
Seattle's much bigger. It's one of the bigger cities. So their shot is just as good as any. All these other cities, it's just way too small, and I don't think the need to expand is really there.
Right, yeah, I hear you. And, I mean, you said it. After my top five, I have Seattle at six. Because I know people were in love with the Seattle Supersonics. And there's a ton of players in the league from Seattle. And like what you said about Jamal Crawford and what he's built up there, Isaiah Thomas, Spencer Haas. They're all famous guys from Seattle, and they rep Seattle hard. That would be a great spot to have the Sonics come back. And then Vegas would also be interesting. I know the Raiders are making that transition soon. And I see Vegas as a hot spot for professional teams.
All right, now the sad side of it.
The sad side, relocations.
Right, so which teams would be moving, in your opinion? Let's hear you start this one.
Okay, my first one is New Orleans. They have such good talent, but are so hidden down south. I think that, I don't know how much of going to New Orleans was kind of trying to rebuild after Katrina. And what the Saints were doing was amazing for the city of New Orleans. But now that time has passed and everybody's moving forward, I think New Orleans would be a very good team to relocate. They have the talent, and I think they would be generating more revenue in a bigger city like Kansas City or, say, Seattle if they relocated. New Orleans is my number one.
Man, that's such a good sports town. Great sports town. They were definitely one of the options because – there's been talk about them. Their ownership's not that great, but their fans are just so good.
They're passionate, and they do rally around each other, and they have great unity in New Orleans. And I mean, for good
reason.
They've got
a couple star players now, so that's another
right
thing that helps.
My two is Charlotte. They've already they've relocated a lot already in the past, or the Bobcats, and they've gone through a lot of transition phases. My three is Memphis. To me,
Okay.
Memphis, it's central, yes, and Memphis, it's a cool town and everything, but it's not as big as you would think. They're probably one of the closer teams to us in Kansas City here. Them or Oklahoma City is probably pretty close. Number four, I have Sacramento slap or sliding down far on my list because they just built a brand new arena, and like you said, their ownership has no intentions in leaving. But California is already stacked with teams and could be adding another one in San Diego, which is a hot topic for expansion teams. And then my final one is kind of like a dark horse. They're not really talked about that much, and that's Orlando. The Orlando Magic. I think they haven't done much for being a Florida team, and I think they could benefit from going elsewhere.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, those teams are all—they're all possibilities. I'm not going to lie about that. My list is quite a bit different. It's really hard. I think Minnesota is a very viable option. I kept them off the list because of emotional ties, but they've done a lot to upgrade the facilities. They've spent a lot of money. Now with Thibodeau there, I mean, if they have a great year, I think that's completely out of possibility. Not a big Glenn Taylor fan. I don't know. I don't think he's managed the team as good as he's definitely not one of the top 10 owners. So I kept him off my list for multiple reasons, but they're obviously definitely in the top seven, if not a lot higher. But number one, I got Memphis. Great fans. That atmosphere is as good as any in the playoffs. Place is rocking. They got very solid ownership, even though it's spread out. They got solid management. They do whatever they can for what they have. They can't get a lot of free agents, but they've been making very good moves and managing. John Hollinger, I think, has done fine there. They always find good coaches, too. They always do great with coaches, and development has been solid. But they're number one because of a TV deal. They haven't had the best TV deals. Orlando's my number two. Their fans are not very good at all. That's part of the reason why they're my number two. They have a very good TV deal, and that's what keeps them around. And it helps Disney's right there. But Orlando's my number two. Atlanta would be my number three, which is hard to.
That's a good
Which
one.
is
I like that
hard.
one.
Yeah, it's hard because it's such a huge city. It's one of the biggest cities in the U.S., so it's hard to see. But they still, I mean, attendance still isn't the greatest. I mean, part of it's, I mean, they've struggled with getting the best and consistent teams. Even though they made the playoffs for years, I mean, they struggled to advance and keep the guys around. So Atlanta's definitely up there. They, from a money standpoint, more so than anything. But number four, I got the Clippers. But there, I mean, for instance, there's plenty of rumors out there. Ballmer, with his ties to Seattle, would move that team to Seattle in a heartbeat.
Absolutely, I can see
With
that.
Doc Rivers sinking that ship, I think they might be forced to make a move. But there's also even rumors of them going to Anaheim or someplace
Wow.
just different. But part of that, would that actually be relocating? Would they be changing their name? Sure, there's some asterisks by that a little bit. But my last one would be Sacramento, just because they've been rumored so much, and they're Sacramento.
I mean, yeah, in the
They're
past they
Sacramento.
have done a ton of things to mess up what they do in Sacramento, but I had them so low on my list because sadly they just built a
Right.
beautiful arena and I don't they seem pretty solid and set for the future.
It's just not that realistic. It really isn't.
Right, yeah. All right, Zach. Great podcast. I had a lot of fun doing hypotheticals. That was fun.
It was fun. And I'm really excited for our next couple shows here coming up. We're going to start previewing all the teams. We're going to be making our win-loss projections. We're going to be picking our awards for the year. And we're growing. It's fun times.
You said it. A lot to look forward to. All right, Zach. Until next time.